Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and we have been looking at the temple this week. I am going to be in Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. I want to just read some of these verses from Hebrews that talk about, I think, some of what we should get from understanding the temple. What was the temple all about? How is it unified with the New Testament? How do we see this same storyline throughout the Bible of God preparing a way for us, even though we are sinners, to meet with Him? And what I have shared with you this week is that I believe the temple was not about removing sin or forgiveness of sin. It was about how people could approach the presence of God here on earth, whereas Jesus' sacrifice is about opening the way to be in God's temple in heaven, to be in His presence forever and ever, apart from earth, even beyond this life. So they serve two different functions, but they're communicating things about the same message. How do we approach a holy God? So Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 says, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship." All right, so listen to what Hebrews is saying about the law, and specifically he's talking about the sacrificial system, the way the Israelites can draw near to God at the temple in Jerusalem. It is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. So a word of caution, when it says the law is only a shadow, that doesn't mean, oh, well, we can ignore that. That doesn't mean, oh, there's nothing beneficial from that. Okay, it is a shadow of the good things that are coming. So those good things aren't here yet, not in their fullness. The law is a shadow of the good things that are coming. The law tells us what is to come. The law gives us a taste of what we have to look forward to. So don't think that this means the law is done away with, thrown out, canceled. No, I think that there's value in a shadow. If you have something beautiful, something just wonderful to delight in and behold and look at, and but you don't have the actual thing. You're not in, you can't actually see this wonderful thing, but you can see its shadow. All right, well, you want the thing itself. You want the wonderful good thing itself, but if you have the shadow, at least that's something. You know, that's something good. That's a blessing. That's how Hebrews is portraying the law. As good as the law is, it points to something far greater. That's what Hebrews is arguing here, the author here. And so there is a coming reality that's even far greater than the law. So on the other hand, we should not magnify this system, the sacrificial Old Testament system, as sort of the highest expression of worship of God or the greatest way to worship God. No, it's a shadow. There's something even greater. So it serves a purpose, but it is not the ultimate. Christ is the ultimate. All right, and so Hebrews is now beginning to talk about some weaknesses in the law or in this sacrificial system. It cannot make perfect those who draw near to worship. The sacrifices have to be done over and over. And the point is that Jesus' sacrifice does not have to be done over and over. Everything that the author of Hebrews says about the temple worship is so that we are to not think less of the law and the temple, but in order that we might think more of Christ and what He has done for us. So later on, we read in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11, "Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sins." See, everyone, even in the Old Testament, they needed Christ to come to take away sins. Paul writes that in Romans chapter 3 as well. That's where Paul says, you know, why did Christ die? Well, to demonstrate God's justice, who in his forbearance passed over the sins previously committed. So the idea here is that in the Old Testament system, God could forgive sins knowing that Christ would come and pay for them. Today, He can forgive sins knowing that Christ has come and paid for them. But it's always based on Christ. The Old Testament sacrifices have to do with now preparing the worshiper to enter the presence of God on earth. Verse 12 of Hebrews 10 says, "But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." See, here's the difference with Jesus Christ. Why did he die on the cross? He died so that your sin would be paid for, so that it would be dealt with once and for all. He doesn't have to perform sacrifices over and over again, because if he did, that would mean that his sacrifice doesn't actually take away sin. It just kind of pushes it off for another year. What Jesus does is to make perfect forever those who are being made holy. So if you put your faith in Jesus Christ and you have his sacrifice applied to your life, that means you are made perfect forever. There is no judgment coming for you where God is going to look at all of your sins, where God is going to bring up your sins, where God is going to talk about where you failed, where God is going to say, "Well, I'm going to let you into heaven, but I'm really not happy that you did this here, here, and here." No, you have been made perfect forever on the basis of this great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So this is far superior, far greater than anything that could happen in the Old Testament in the temple. But again, that doesn't negate that there's something spectacular about the Old Testament. It's just that Jesus is far better. Now, listen to the next verse. It says in Hebrews 10:15, "The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, 'This is the covenant I will make with them. After that time,' says the Lord, 'I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds.'" Now, notice that this is written in Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 33. This is the great passage on the new covenant that we have in the Bible. And the author of Hebrews says, here's what the Holy Spirit says. So this is another reference where we see that what is written in the Bible, it's the very words of God. It is the Holy Spirit speaking through Jeremiah the prophet. That means this is God's word. And this is how the Bible speaks about it. This is why we can trust it. And notice that what happens in this new covenant, what is distinctive, it is that God says, "I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds." Which laws? Well, the laws that are around in Jeremiah's day. We're talking about Old Testament laws. What this verse affirms is that nothing in the law has been done away with. Nothing in the Old Testament is thrown out because we're in the New Testament. Rather, the New Testament builds on the old. Rather, the New Testament gives greater promises. The New Testament opens up our understanding of how we have access to God in heaven. The New Testament opens up how we can have true, permanent forgiveness of sins and be made perfect in his sight. The New Testament shows us how we are now going to be able to follow God's law. It doesn't get rid of God's law. Rather, it says, "I will put my laws in their hearts and write them on their minds." So now these laws written throughout the Old Testament, as a Christian, that doesn't mean all of the laws apply to you. There are some laws written just for women, some laws just for priests, some laws just for Jews. Okay, but as the laws relate to you, as a believer in Christ, you can have the experience of having God now write the laws in your heart and mind so that you are now capable of following God's law. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "I have come to set them free." You're now free from the power of sin. You now have God's Holy Spirit in you. You can now follow God's commands. So this is a wonderful blessing that has come in the new covenant. It doesn't do away with the blessings of the old covenant. I'll have some final thoughts on this topic tomorrow. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.